Yeah, Bram Stoker is a very interesting figure to talk about because we know really an incredible amount about him, but we can't really interpret it. There's a kind of public figure, and you always suspect that there's a different kind of private figure that we can't quite get to. So he was born in Ireland in 1847. It's very, very important that he is of a Protestant elite in Dublin, and this is a Catholic country. And there's a minor, very, very small elite minority that are basically ruling a colonial state. All around them in the 1840s, millions of Catholics are dying of starvation or are emigrating to America. So here's someone who's of an elite, a colonial elite. Now, his father is not particularly high up that elite, but he is nevertheless a kind of professional civil servant. And they moved amongst a very elite company. So Bram Stoker knew, for example, Sir William Wilde, who was Oscar Wilde's father. He worked for one famous Irish Gothic writer called Sheridan Le Fanu, who ran a newspaper as well. So he worked for him. And he moved in this circle. And he was brought up to be yet another servant of the state. So he became a civil servant and actually was a civil servant after leaving university for about 10 years until he met this extraordinary, charismatic, famous Shakespearean actor called Henry Irving. And he was, I think, basically fell in love with him, although he wouldn't say that. It was a great fraternal kind of love. But he was totally awestruck by the performance that Henry Irving could put on and actually became his acting manager. So he moved almost overnight. He moved to London. He made sure he got married first, just to make it clear, I think. he moved to London. He became the manager of the famous Lyceum Theatre, which is where The Lion King is on now, and will be for many years, I'm sure. And if you go around the back of the Lyceum Theatre, there is a sign that says Irving, Stoker, Terry. So the three famous people, the two actors, Ellen Terry and Henry Irving, with Bram Stoker in the middle. So that he worked for him for 20 years, and he was a tyrant. He was a monster. He was Dracula in some many ways, Henry Irving. Henry Irving demanded that he write all of his letters. He did all the business management. He made bizarre, quixotic decisions that Bram Stoker had to act on. Bram Stoker organized at least six American tours on his behalf. He looked after and managed Ellen Terry and a couple of other actors. He was so good at managing people's money, in fact, that various other famous Victorians like James Whistler, the painter, said, "Would you please look after my money as well," since he was bankrupt. And somehow, being this ridiculously overproductive Victorian gentleman, he wrote at least four novels in that time. He trained to become a barrister and was called to the bar. Never acted, but he was called to the bar. And 1897 was the year that he wrote Dracula. Not particular success at the time, but one that was well noted, well received, but nothing like the kind of afterlife it's had. So he actually died in great poverty. He managed to live on after Henry Irving died. As soon as Henry Irving died, he wrote this enormous two-volume biography of his boss, great hagiography of this man, and then promptly had a stroke, and so lived in great kind of poverty for the last few years of his life. There is a great controversy about Bram Stoker's life, about whether in fact he suffered from a sexually transmitted disease, syphilis, which couldn't be cured until the 1920s. And it's a long, painful, degenerative illness which does horrible things to you. And there is some speculation from within the family too that he might have suffered from that. But other people say there is no medical proof for this. We can't quite determine that. Maybe this is a slur on his personality. We don't have any sense of what his sexuality was, which makes him a very kind of intriguing figure, I think.